Fast Eddie here in the studios with Brad Amoyles here from Embraer Aircraft. And we have something very interesting to talk about today. Brad, fill us in.
Sure. I'm here to tell you a little about a trip we took earlier in July. I took a visit over to Europe in the Phenom. It involved multiple legs, beginning in the northeast in New York and heading up to Vermont, and then over eastbound all the way to Reykjavik Island, where a couple friends and myself spent a weekend. That part of the trip was great. It really involved stops in Goose Bay, Greenland, and then returning and to Reykjavik, where we spent the weekend. The more important part of the journey and the record that we managed to set was really on the return, where after we flew on to the UK and I spent some time with family in London and Oxford, we began to prepare for our return journey westbound in the Phenom, which typically is a pretty slow trip and a trip that usually encounters the typical headwinds that that prevail in the jet stream in that direction. Fortunately, early in July, the day we happened to pick, we began our diligence around the flight and realized that we would actually be experiencing some mild to moderate tailwinds in that direction. And myself, together with mentor pilot Travis Harland, who's done that trip many times, realized that we would potentially have a shot at actually getting a record for that route. It wouldn't be an all-time record because the record is held by the Concorde that obviously has managed to do that trip in, you know, 2 and change hours. But we set up with all the required licenses and documentation to monitor our progress. And we began the trip at the Royal Air Force base in Norfolk, just outside of London, and really flew back in just under 11 and a half hours door to door in the Phenom, which was really, as I understand, and we're waiting for it to be confirmed, a new world record speed in class for the light jet series. Our trip really involved 3 stops, 4 legs. The first one was a stop in Keflavik, Iceland. Quick turns at all of the legs. The next stop, probably the most spectacular stop on the route, was a stop in Greenland, on the west coast of Greenland, in a place called Nassassawak. That really is a phenomenally interesting place, particularly in July and August. Very pretty, very contrasting, and unusual scenery, a combination of the frozen glaciers that are beginning to melt, icebergs floating across the approach end of the runway, and occasional airplanes, mainly ferry planes, that are stopping over there in Nassassawak. We stopped there. Typical is that most of our stops were under an hour. We knew the clock was running. We had to document all the paperwork necessary, obviously top off the fuel and pre-flight the airplane for each leg, including all our weather things. Nassassawak was particularly pretty that day with clear VFR conditions, and we were able to do a great visual approach into the fjord and then land at the airfield there. From there, we did 2 more legs. We flew on to Goose Bay in Canada. And then finally, after the stop in Goose, we actually did the longest leg, which was about 1,000-mile leg from Goose Bay down to White Plains, landing in the mid-afternoon. So, I've done many trips back and forth to Europe, to London, usually not flying myself, but clearly this was quite an experience. And we got back really door-to-door in under 11 and a half hours, which is a little slower than the airlines, but was a lot more fun.
Well, it always is more fun when you've got a neat airplane such as that. This is a bone stock factory aircraft. No modifications for speed at all, correct?
Correct. It's a stock airplane with standard equipment and no ferry tanks and no additional equipment other than the required life rafts of that nature for transoceanic flight.
So you didn't have like mag wheels and white wall tires and the kick and stereo system? Or my personal favorite, the bigger engines?
No, we had none of that. There was no turbos or superchargers.
You didn't steal the engines out of an F-18 or anything to put them on the back. Well, that's very neat. What gave you the idea to go and try for a speed record?
You know, it was a trip that one really doesn't do too often, and Travis and I were chatting about it, and effectively he knows the route pretty well. He's ferried many airplanes across that route, and when we did our diligence for that leg, we realized that this was a pretty unusual set of winds, and probably not going to fly this route again, certainly not in a light jet. And so we set up the paperwork in order to certify the record, and it was, you know, slightly serendipitous, but it was clearly, you know, a unique opportunity to try and set a transatlantic record, even if it's in class. And it was a great, fun experience.
Okay, what kind of paperwork did you have to go through? What kind of hoops did you have to hit before you could do this?
You effectively just have to certify, and the ATC, more importantly, has to certify your... Effectively, the key things are your wheels up and wheels down time, and the first and the last stop, and they have to confirm those, and then you have to file the record, and we still haven't received official certification, but based on that, on the historic times, we should achieve a record-breaking time.
What kind of distance did you cover?
We covered about 2,500 nautical miles. As a straight line, in terms of, you know, with the stops included, it was closer to 2,700 nautical miles. The Phenom has a range of, you know, up to about 900 to 1,000 nautical miles. But clearly, with those hops over the ocean, we wanted to make sure that we have, you know, adequate fuel. So the legs were typically about 700-800 nautical miles.
Okay, so you don't have in-flight refueling capabilities. I bet you were wishing for that one. Well, that's neat. This is a how many passengers does this airplane normally take?
So the Phenom is a light jet. It has the ability to carry 4 to 5 passengers in the rear. It's a single pilot jet, so it has the opportunity with 2 seats up front and 4 or 5 seats in the back.
Were you up front flying the airplane, or just looking out the windows having fun?
Yeah, I was up front flying. I flew all of the legs, all of the landings and takeoffs, and Travis and I both stepped to the rear for about 45 minutes to an hour and had our respective lunches, but was sitting in the front left seat for the whole trip.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Full glass cockpit, I'm assuming?
Yeah, the Phenom 100 is a phenomenal light jet. Unlike some of the competitors' products, it was designed off a clean sheet in sort of the mid-2005, began production, as I understand, in 2008. And the plane really has some attributes that really are unusual in the light jet category. Most importantly, sort of it's the ramp presence of the airplane, the size and shape of the tube, allowing one to really feel very comfortable and have ample shoulder and headroom in a small light jet. In addition, Phenom went with the Garmin avionics, the G1000, particularly with their own customized version called the Prodigy, that really integrates many of the airframe components into the avionics and results in a great user-friendly environment for the flight crew. It allows one to really integrate many of the airframe systems into the Garmin and really facilitates what they call a quiet and dark, very simple-to-use cockpit with minimal amounts of switches and warnings, and effectively is a great airplane for pilots to transition from turboprops to, you know, flying the single pilot owned and flown light jet.
Sounds neat. What altitudes were you flying at?
Altitudes actually were pretty critical because in order to optimize fuel burn, you clearly want to fly at the higher altitudes. So we were flying at 30,000 feet and above. And I think the highest leg we were westbound at 380. So we generally, the optimal altitudes for the plane are in the mid 30,000s, and you can fly as high as 41,000 feet. We didn't do that on these legs, but the Phenom performs best at about 36 to 38,000 feet, where your fuel burns are, you know, very reasonable at, you know, under 700 pounds an hour, and your speeds are close to, you know, Mach 0.65.
Hey, that's moving right along. Did you have any guests on board, or was it just you and, well, was it just you and the airplane? Well, you said Travis was on board too.
I had another pilot with me, and on the eastbound leg, we had one passenger, a close friend of mine, who spent the time, as I said, with us in Reykjavik Island. We spent the weekend there. That was a great trip. Nice to experience the summers in Reykjavik. We went out and got back to the hotel at around 1 o'clock in the evening, and the sun was still up.
Wow. Did you have to put any special equipment on the airplane for the overwater portion of this when you were crossing the Atlantic?
No, we did not. We were able to stay within range of the repeaters, so we just had a VHF radios. We had obviously all the Garmin equipment, and the plane actually has a facility also for Wi-Fi, so we were actually in contact with home most of the way. It's a satellite-based Wi-Fi system that's been incorporated into the plane, aftermarket system, and that Bendix system really worked very well. We actually managed to maintain contact with the satellite as far north as about 55 degrees. The trip took us as far north as about 65 degrees north. At that latitude, we lost connection with the satellite, but really all the plane's avionics were standard and everything performed great.
So in other words, you weren't able to update your Facebook status or tweet out while you lost your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we weren't able to send out the text message updates, but we did get those back, you know, as we got close to Canada.
Well, obviously, there's got to be a website involved if people are interested in taking a look at this aircraft or setting world records or something. And what would that website be?
I think the best spot to look at this and see what we did, it would be to go to the Phenom Aero website, which is the Phenom owners and operators website that has a lot of information, including forums and hopefully soon some photos from our trip.
Sounds like you had a great time. What are you going to do for your next world record?
I think one world record's enough, so I think we'll be remaining firmly back on the ground for now.
Well, it sounds like fun. Sounds like you have a very capable aircraft there, and I wish you the best of luck with it. You're listening to Brad Amoyles here, the Phenom 100 speed record. I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.